Welcome here to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. Broadcasting live from Auckland. Nice little fluoridated capital of New Zealand here. The old sunny slave South Pacific just sparkles in the sun showers that we're having right now. My very special guest joining me from the Tron, the city of the future, the city of Agenda 21, where he has his radio station running there, exposing copious quantities of scumbaggery. Roy Harlow, welcome to the show, mate.
Good to be with you, Vinny, and welcome to everybody. Good to be on air.
Now, isn't that lovely? It's a New Zealander hosting an American show, interviewing an American who's living in New Zealand. Well, you've been here since the 70s or something, haven't you, Roy?
Yeah, we're called Crosstown Traffic.
and I'm sure you got out of the States for the same reason that a lot of people are now, because, basically, it's turning into Nazi Germany.
I can't believe the changes. The rapidity is astonishing. The way they're pulling all the stops to try to keep control. I don't see it as sustainable, but, boy, they do hold a lot of the cards.
Yeah, yeah. And you yourself, you're running rushfm.co.nz. So if anybody listening to the show is in Hamilton, you can listen to that show all the time. They play clips of the Vinnie Eastwood Show and many others on there, trying to wake people up in the little short snippet sound bites and what have you. You know, kind of like Fox News.
Yeah, we've taken a different formatting. And we are streaming on rushfm and .co.nz. And we've taken the concept, you know, everybody's too distracted. There's just so much information. It's the overload's got to be filtered. So we decided rather than contributing, we'd go ahead and do some of the editing for you and put the concentrated. It happens in all of us of a broadcaster's point of view where you come to a point you feel like you got to get this out. And when you do, it's like a summary of 10 years worth of work. And it can really help people that are just waking up to certain serious subjects.
Oh, yeah. It's too true that there is too much info out there. There's more than anybody could learn. And I've found I kind of like almost given up on trying to know it all because I've figured out that it's impossible. But I can get to the point where I at least have a mild understanding of most things. And that's about as best as I'll get.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing. We've mottoed Rush FM from the point of view of be advised of those subjects that directly affect your life. That's all you can do. There is too much information.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like one of those conversations where you want the person to get to the point, just tell me what I need to know. And I think that's kind of what the radio industry just sort of has to start really changing into is just a network. It's kind of like an emergency broadcaster in a FEMA sense of the word, you know.
Disaster.
This is not a test. You're all screwed by the New World Order.
Well, it is a disaster, and, you know, we have to recognize we have responsibility as broadcasters to put facts through. The amount of disinformation is scary, and we call it spam radio, and we've done a lot of spots that are quite funny at that area, and because it's just distraction. There's no substance.
The mainstream media is just sort of, they've abdicated all position of credibility to my mind. You know, I mean, they just recently have started listening a bit more to Penny Bright and are starting to look into the Hewlett wealth management and the corruption in the finance companies and what have you. But as always, whenever the media does something right, it's always too little, too late, and it's already been exposed by the alternative media way long ago. And on top of that, they come out smelling like roses, and I just don't think they deserve that.
Well, I think part of it is that the people kind of welcome the distraction. They don't really want to have to be responsible for their lives and the assault that's being waged from so many sectors. I mean, the misinformation thing is really intense. I'll give you a subject that I'd like to bring up here. I've been working. Well, two things have happened. One is some of my work, and another thing is something I've been sensing personally. I've been having trouble sleeping, and I'm going, that ain't me. I work my butt off, and when I lay down, I'm done, and I can't understand why sleeping's a problem, and I've been finding that late at night on a very subtle plane, there's some sort of interference, and I've started trying to find out what the. Well, I'm one of those lucky guys that has a smart meter on his house. So
oh, no.
I did some researching, and I got my chicken wire out, and I completely encased my meter in chicken wire, and by gosh, it reduced it significantly. That was a big help. But the other side of it that I was surprised about is I've recognized, and I have an article, I'll give you a few pieces out of it, but I've realized that they're using the cell phone towers to broadcast brainwave modulation changes over the population during the night.
Yeah, psychotronic weaponry.
Yes, they're actually what they're doing, and it's for dumbing down and submission. And, you know, let's be honest, if you don't get a good night's sleep 25 nights in a row, you're just not on your best. You're not your sharpest.
Oh, and not to mention, there's a hell of a lot more things that you just cease caring about.
Well, that's true. Your priorities change. That's right, because you can't cope with the normal amount of information. And we all have information overload one day or another. So there's an article I picked it up yesterday by a psychologist in Europe, in Britain, actually, who says that they're gonna sweeten people's dreams by using their smartphones. Now, you place the phone by the bed, and it can detect when the sleeper is not moving, which signifies that the oncoming of the dream state, and it then plays a carefully crafted soundscape designed to invoke pleasant scenes, such as walking in the woods or lying on the beach. Yeah, right. So they're bombarding us. They're able to do it through our phones. And most people use their phone as their alarm. And so they're bombarding us, our brain wave patterns, by using the cell phone. Now, you look at the capacity they have in cell phones, they can do 50,000 calls off your local tower, no problem. So it's pretty easy for them to more or less target some individuals they don't like, and then in general, impact on the society. So I recognize it's happening. I've been talking about it for months, and this article kind of helped me to realize that, yeah, it's actually come out now. Some of the universities are testing on it for the good guys' side and use of the technology. But we know that these technologies come out after the powers that be use them for their nefarious acts. So I think what we're seeing is many sectors of the human population globally are being mind-controlled while they sleep through the use of cell phone towers. And because the accuracy and the effectiveness they have is so good, they can call your phone not my phone, even though we're sitting side by side. Similarly, they can call this person's brain or that person's brain, and they can just target anybody they want. And as you see through the media, Google, Facebook, whoever, they all want your phone number.
Yeah, so, I never give my phone number. I don't care whether Gmail wants it or YouTube wants it, and I don't care why they want it. I ain't giving them my cell phone number.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's probably why you can still go on air and do this show so effectively.
I think that might be the coffee. But, yeah, speaking of sleep deprivation, the real curious thing I find about all these different psychotronic weaponry is the fact that they've become so widespread so quickly and virtually nobody noticed. And now that it's all in there, it's all been installed, it's kind of like, what do we do now? You know, because you can't go and grab that smart meter and just rip it out, can you?
No, they won't allow it. That's right. They say they own the box and the meter on the side of your house. So I just encase mine in small mesh chicken wire, and it's affected everybody's sleep patterns in the house. We're all doing better.
Mm-hmm. Maybe try razor wire next time, so when the guy comes out to try and check the smart meter. In fact, they don't even need to come out and check the smart meters manually, do they? Because they're connected to the internet.
That's right, and that's the point. They're constantly, every 4 seconds, they make a link. So you're getting a signal impact across your house, through your house, through your people in the house, on an every 4 to 5 second basis. That's why they're so dangerous.
And also, making
a phone call every 4 or 5 seconds.
And the other side of it is, well, not only do they disrupt your sleep patterns and whatever, but they also can give you headaches and all of this other kind of stuff. Which is why the Blue Shield and the guys from Blue Shield, who are mutual acquaintances of ours. are so dang useful at this particular point in time because, hey, if you can't protect yourself from all this EMF stuff, and that basically they've made it illegal to protect yourself from this kind of stuff by going to the source and taking out that smart meter. You know, that I'm acting under the assumption they don't give you the option of whether or not you want a smart meter or an analog one, do they?
No, they just do it. They come in and say they want to check or alter or upgrade the meter, and that's all they tell you. As they did it to us last September, and they just said they wanted to look and upgrade the meter. And I didn't realize what it meant at the moment. And within 10 minutes, it was done. He was gone.
Right. It's like a hit and run. And except totally. Except the weapon that they're using kind of sits there and keeps blasting everybody just until it disappears. Now, what if, and this is the interesting thing, because I'm starting to get really ticked off with the New World Order to the point in which I'm starting to almost think that vigilante justice could be justified, particularly if you're wiping out very dangerous technology that's there that has virtually no useful purpose. And smart meters, I think, comes under that. Speed cameras.
I agree with that, but I think we have to define it as self-defense.
Mm.
That's really what we're doing. We have a right to protect our brainwave patterns as like we do our home or our car or anything else. And this is the point. This is invisible attack. And that's why it's taking so long for the people to come out of their confidence in government and recognize that we're actually all being attacked. It's because it's invisible. It's electromagnetic attack. It's poisons in the food, in the air, et cetera, that's not seen. I mean, everybody nowadays, you need to have a poison kit and a Geiger counter and several other devices to protect your EM sensors, to protect yourself from the onslaught. It's not things that you've chosen. These are things that have been imposed. And really, we need to have those instruments that give us the ability to analyze what's being done to us.
Yeah, I just fantasize that one day I'll wake up and I'll look down the street this way or the other and just see all these smart meters have been ripped up, that the and all this wholesale destruction of surveillance and psychotronic weaponry has just been taken out. You know, it's just like as if everybody just kind of got the same idea this one day. Ironically, it'd be funny though, Roy, what if we could hack into this system and then broadcast a signal to people telling them to destroy their smart meter?
Well, I think that the broadcast thing is that you may have the ability before very long to broadcast right into people's brains.
Imagine the Vinnie Eastwood
mechanical
show.
Mechanical equipment.
The Vinnie Eastwood show, live from your pineal gland.
Really? Really? Just like that. Yeah. Well, what could be said? We know that we're, I don't know, some people say 10, 15, 20 years behind the technology revolution in what's released to the public. And it's not difficult for any of us to see how you can advance that theory a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further to where, really, we're still living in the old caveman era of the electronics age. There's a lot more sophisticated stuff that they've got out there that, well, isn't public knowledge or isn't public equipment yet.
Now, I've got a question in here from the chat room about Organite. Do you know what Organite is, Roy?
What is?
Organite.
No, I don't. Organite.
No. Yeah. Oh, well, Freighter X makes them these kind of little crystal-type thingies, which allegedly do the same thing as Blue Shield. I don't know. I haven't tried them yet, but...
Organ technology. Yes, I know what they are. The issue there is I don't... Those are like... how do I say it? They're their own generating source. They're not powered. I've had this discussion with Mark, the designer of the Blue Shield, about that concept of having it powered by battery or having it naturally irradiating, shall we say. And the Blue Shield gives a stronger current and a more consistent current because it does have battery support for broadcasting. I know what the subject is. It's like there's several other types of devices that are either individually charged or have their own radiation principles, but those that have a battery, they have ability to intensify or to increase the coverage. Blue Shield's coverage is quite good. The meter and a half, 2 meters, 3 meters, 15 meters, you know, et cetera. That's significant because we are being bombarded on that big a scale.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's very true. And it happens to me on occasion, even still now, because I remember about, I think it might have been a year and a half, 2 years ago or something like that, I left home without my Blue Shield. And I was like, oh, God, what is that? So I feel it kind of, it was almost like every muscle in my body was just starting to tense up and I was starting to feel a little bit ill or something like that. Ran back inside, grabbed the Blue Shield and like, oh, it went away. And then yesterday, same thing. Just left the Blue Shield inside on the desk and just went outside, even into the back garden. We've got these power lines and what have you back there. You'd figure in West Auckland, surrounded by trees and a garden or everything, you'd be sweet as and safe from electromagnetic radiation. But nope, same thing happened again. Like, oh, God, what is that? Run back inside, grab the Blue Shield, boom, goes away. In fact, I didn't even have to get to my Blue Shield. All I needed to do was get inside. And then I've got this one that does a 15-meter, you know, the little plug-in Blue Shield, and all of a sudden it went away. Went back outside with my portable one and never came back. It's amazingly actual. It really is effective, you know.
Yes, it
does
is.
Make a difference, a noticeable difference. But
well,
the problem is that once you first...
There is an attack going on to our psychological being, and this is the counter device.
It's like a circle of protection. It's like a circle of protection. It's like magic technology. And I love it because that's precisely what it says it'll do, and that's precisely what it does. You know, it's not BSing you.
I'd like to comment on. You hit a point there. We are in the era of invisible attack. Nowadays, you don't see tanks and guns and soldiers coming up to you. Nowadays, the attack is invisible. It's electromagnetic, a lot of it, pulse waves, et cetera, et cetera. We have to recognize that's one of the symptoms of assault on the humans. It's an invisible assault. And this is why we have so much trouble, and they intend this, that we have so much trouble waking people up because they find it hard to believe. They still have the concept that the government's there to protect you and guide you and your vote counts and all that nonsense. And so they don't realize that, wait a minute, there's technologies that are totally invisible. And those technologies are not being used for the betterment of humanity, just like weather modulation. We could all have wonderful crops and wonderful summers. But no, they're using it. They're weaponizing it. They're demonizing it. And this is something I run into on the radio show. I'm pretty blatant in our spots and our quotes we put out. There is a demonic mentality group of people who are aggressive. That's
exactly
what we're facing.
And we've got to get defensive about it, you know, and not in the social situation. You said something bad about me, I'm going to get defensive about it. It's more like we're under attack. You need to get defensive actions going. We'll be right back.
It's invisible.
I got some so-called friends. I'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned.
They install smart meters at my place. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about invisible radiation enemies. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Roy Harlow. Now, Roy, you're actually a bit of an inventor as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I invented myself, actually.
Yeah. Kind of like the Beatles.
Yeah.
I'm working
with several things. We're just trying to give people some independence. I'm working right now with we've miniaturized the concept of plastic recycling into diesel fuel, and we're
I saw this on a video. Some Japanese guy. You just put plastic in the machine, and it turns it into oil.
Yeah. Well, we've miniaturized it so you can own one for your own home. And you can actually recycle all of your personal equipment. And we're just finishing with it. We got to make sure that all the dioxins and there's no emissions coming out. We got that. That's the final piece, is getting consistent supply there. But, we're going to launch a range, three different sizes of products that you can plug in your garage and process all your own plastic into diesel fuel for your car or a generator.
Cool, man.
So, this has been about a 10-month engineering hiatus, and we've pulled it together now. We've built the first prototype and trialed, tested, and it's been fully successful. And we've already sold that unit. We've got now we're taking orders for more units. They're coming off now. We're just getting ready. We just signed up for a building, and we're putting together all the supplies and contractors, and we're ready to go into building these small furnaces. And it's about the size. I say it's a big two-drawer file cabinet. And that will give you about 25 liters, 29 liters for one, let's call it burn. So it's a furnace that heats up your plastic, melts it, gasifies it, recondenses it, filters it, ready to put in either a car or a generator.
Choice. So well,
you can pull for your neighbor's milk bottle, you know.
I would love to see that, because then the recycling would actually have something properly, you know, decent and useful done with it. Because at the moment, as far as I'm aware, most of our recycling just basically gets dumped on ships and taken away to China to get dumped in places where Chinese peasants pick over the trash piles and get sick while looking for all this mercury-based crap everywhere that they can sell back to the Apple Corporation or something.
That's true with e-waste, but the plastic waste, they're doing what we should be doing. They're actually recycling the plastic into fuel, and a lot of it's going direct to electricity. So we have some bigger ones on design. I'm working with some things there, and we're going to actually try to produce distributive energy generation plants from the waste so that the plastic is going into gas that's running generators that's powering homes.
Now, what would you think about, say, you know how the oceans are now completely inundated with plastics waste, and it's kind of turned into sort of like this plastic soup, particularly in the in fact, there's a couple of big regions where the currents converge, like the Northern Pacific, Southern Atlantic, where it's just basically this big plastic soup wasteland or something like that.
Plastic
beach. What I'd love to see, Roy, is kind of like a large scale dredging operation to get all that plastic out of there, and then just toss it into one of your machines and convert it into energy.
Well, that's the point. We're sitting here on a bonanza worth of energy potential. We have plastic contamination all over the planet, and it's another negative side to the fossil fuel dependency. And we have the opportunity as individuals to take that plastic and turn it into our own resource. So what we're trying to do as a company is provide them the equipment they need to make that possible. It's simple as that. And, you know, everybody gets greedy and they go, oh, I'm going to make a machine that makes energy out of plastic, so I'm going to sell energy and own it. And I've taken the other tack. Let's empower the people with a machine that they go ahead and produce their own energy and their friends, associates, what have you. It empowers the world from waste to standing around. All we need is the equipment. Well, that's what we're trying to do. Provide them that equipment on the scale that's relative to their problem.
This is why the climate change movement doesn't make sense to me, because they think that a problem is always solved by something financial or by stopping yourself from doing something, right? Like, I'm not going to buy that particular product. I'm not going to do this. Whereas I'm kind of a bit more technically minded, and I think to myself, okay, we've got a big problem. How can we solve this problem? As opposed to, we've got a big problem. How can we screw up and mess up everybody's life and economic activity in order to hand the world over to a dictatorial communist world government?
Exactly. You know, they don't listen.
Technological solutions, people.
It doesn't matter how much you protest. They don't listen. They don't care about us. So, okay, if they've contaminated our planet with plastic, let's just take it as though they've put resources all over the planet for us. If we develop the minimal amount of equipment and technology that we can so everybody can easily use it, then we take all this crap they've laid around and turn it into our own resources so we're not dependent on them any longer. I mean, you know, Vinny, that there is many, many good technologies that have been stood on and stifled and what have you, and that the technologies aren't really rocket science. They're just the next step forward that they don't want us to take. They want us dependent, and we need to guard our independence.
Yeah, it's not entirely different to national defense and national security as far as I'm concerned, because it's kind of like on the smaller scale, if you can keep yourself independent, if you can keep yourself chugging and you don't need anybody else, you're independent. Then all you do is just apply that gradually. You know, you get one more person, then one more person. And eventually, somewhere down the track, way more people are far more independent and the government loses its hold on them. You know, because at the moment, just with energy, for instance, you know, what do we got, like 5 electricity companies operating in New Zealand, and they're all government-owned, acting as a cartel.
Sure, and it's happening globally. They're trying to cartel most everything, food, water, power, all the essentials of life. This is called demonic mentality. It's not a matter of your opinion, my opinion any longer. This is one group of people exploiting another group of people. And we need to use our skills, abilities, trainings, what have you, to liberate ourselves back to normal. We're not trying to become the next level of bastards. We're trying to get out from under the primary level and just be back to the rights and independence, human rights concepts that we all actually deserve.
Yeah, and the demonic mentality is pretty self-evident when at least you look into it, because it doesn't actually hide that far below the surface. I've found,
no.
You know, you have a look at all these people. It's just basically, if you understand the satanic principles and mentality, it basically becomes a brief explanation of how government policy is formed. Do I worship Lucifer? Yes. Do I want to enslave all the servants of God? Yes. Okay, cool. Let's become government officials then.
Well, yeah, you're right. It is a good over evil in principle, but the way they manifest it is the tricky part. In reality, we just need to protect what is, I guess, God-given rights. There is enough resources here on the planet for everybody that's here. This overpopulation thing is way overstressed. If we weren't misusing the resources, there's plenty. And that's kind of what I think we're all trying to do as the alternative media. We're trying to wake up to the fact that if we work intelligently and collectively and without greed, we can get by. We can do without these so-called governments, and we can do without this corporate overview. We don't need them telling us what we need. We have our own intuitive intelligence, and we should be allowed to exercise it. That's what they're trying to take away. They're trying to take away that independent spirit.
Now, you talked about food, fuel, and water. Now, you've got a device where you can make your own fuel from trash, and I think that's freaking perfect. What about making water or making food? Are technological devices for that? Because I have a friend who's starting to become interested in using pyramids to grow food inside. There's something about pyramids that channels energy right down in a very perfect symmetrical way or something like that, and it makes plants grow like 2 to 3 times faster.
Yeah. Well, the issue is protecting heritage varieties of plants. And the other issue is trying to protect ourselves from the acidification through chemtrail spraying onto the soil. So, you know, in the basic sense, the people should start out thinking about a self-sufficiency concept, and food's going to have to be grown in greenhouse concepts. So you choose what water your plants get, and you maintain the balance in the nutrition in the soil. This is really the bottom line for all of us, because man lives from the land. Our nutrients come from the soil. So we have to find a way of protecting that, even on a limited scale. We should be working together collectively, but the misinformation kings of the world are very active in breeding dependency on their chemicals and their, well, toxicity, really.
To the point in which you almost can't grow crops without their chemical fertilizers.
Well, they want to go there. They're heading for that. I mean, I got in trouble. I got in trouble a year ago because I said that balanced fertilizer, which is an NPK, elemental-based fertilizer, shouldn't be allowed to sponsor the environmental awards because they are one of the biggest contaminants of our agricultural sector. And all of the people that were getting money from those groups came out and got upset with me. And I said, but let's look at it. You show me where they are actually benefiting agriculture. And they're going, well, they sell all these billions of dollars of product. And I'm going, that's not proof. We're talking about soil analysis here and sustainability. And when you look at it from that point of view, we can take care of ourselves. We don't need these massive corporations pushing chemicals and, now it's GMO, onto the people, the farmers of the world. There's such an onslaught on the farmers right now. It's a real tragedy in the making. The young people don't want to go into farming because it's such a heavy debt issue. And the older people are getting sick and tired of it. They're hardly making money and everything's always coming down on them. And most of the businesses target farmers as a guaranteed income and things like that. But we have to wake up. In the 20s, 28, 29, 30, 28% of the people lived off of the land, were directly agriculture-based. And now we're down to 2 or 3%. So as our economy collapses and civilizations looking for alternatives, we've got to go back to the land. But the knowledge and the resources and the available free arable land has been altered dramatically by this onslaught of the big corporations, such that they're trying to make it, we have to buy their crap chemical-based food. So this is, like Alex Jones mentioned this the other day with Mike Adams. They're saying, it's your duty to grow your own food. It's patriotic. And it is. It keeps your head working right. And this is what people aren't looking at. You have to protect your consciousness. It used to be they would attack you with taxes or they'd attack you with regulations, but now they're EMF attacking your brainwave patterns and what you consciously pay attention to. So you have to be very conscious of where are you putting your attention span and protecting your brain from onslaught of EMFs. This is why I'm such an advocate of Blue Shield, which I know you're very supportive of too. But we have to look at this as a society now. I'm totally convinced, as we talked about a few minutes ago, that cell phone towers are being used against the populace at night. They're microwaving and heating us up, and they're changing our dreamscape, and they're changing our ability to get rest from our sleep with cell phone towers. And this is an invisible attack on humanity, and we've got to be aware of it. We've got to wake up to the fact that not all of our thoughts are our thoughts anymore.
Well, they may be invisible attacks, but they're not imperceptible. Like, you can feel them.
Agreed.
You can know when those things are being installed. And I find the trick is that they put all these things in your face, but they don't tell you what they do. You know,
yeah.
It's like Botox, for example. Get some Botox, it'll take out your wrinkles. Really, what does Botox mean? Oh, it means botulism toxin. What?
Yeah. Well, that's true. The art of marketing and advertising has turned into a really nasty thing. The reality is, we need to really disconnect from a lot of the stuff and go back to the basics of what is required for a healthy consciousness and a healthy body and a healthy contribution, because our society needs informed and serious contributors to the mindset. Everybody's looking at contribution to the economy, but we need serious contribution to the mindset, to accepting that we do have what we need. Every individual out there has the capacity to be perfect at their respective talent. So we have the world preaching to us, nobody's perfect, but everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a place, and we need to find that place, find that role, and find happiness, find security, and find intelligence by being expert at our particular capability, our forte. And we're not being encouraged to achieve anything like that.
You're kind of breaking up, getting a little bit digitor there, you know, in the Transformers Megatron sense of the word. I'm not sure. Okay. It's not quite so screwed up anymore, but we're coming up to break now anyway. Roy Harlow, rushfm.co.nz, ladies and gentlemen. Go check out that little website if you are living in the Tron. And even if you're not, there's still some many, many interesting things that are being played on that radio station as well. So we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Oh, no, no. Daddy won't.
Show, the lighter side of genocide. Welcome one and all. Test tube babies and natural borns, those with and without plugs, born in the matrixy city of Zion. My very special guest is Roy Harlow, who's also coming at us from the city of the future, city of Agenda 21, Hamiltron. Now, what was I talking about? Oh, yes, standard of living. If you want to have a decent economy or a decent society or whatever, the quality of your standard of living seems to be, I think, one of the most important things to look at. So you have a, so if you analyze what the standard of living is, let's say a level that we want to be able to live under. Personally, I want to have as much electricity as I need. I'm not going to, you know, start smelting aluminium in my backyard or something like that, using thousands of megawatt hours from a local power station or anything like that, just running my computers and what have you. I want as much electricity as I need, as much food as I need, and as much water as I need, and as much energy to get around when I want to, when I need to, you know, fuel for the car and what have you. Those are the basic things that you really need to maintain your standard of living. That and internet, of course. So let's have a look at how all these things are being under attack. And let's not forget your health. You see, all of those things just described here about how you maintain your standard of living and how you actually measure whether or not your standard of living is good, is all getting much, much worse, much more expensive, much more contaminated. Your food's getting contaminated. Your water's being purposely contaminated with fluoride and chlorine. Goodness knows how many other bazillions of alchemical notions that they're putting on in there. Your houses, on the other hand, you know, the majority of them in New Zealand aren't frickin' insulated. And we even have people who die. Like people in New Zealand, a country that's not actually really that cold, freeze to death in their homes because the insulation in this country is just that bad, you know? And then they take a look at the fuel prices. They're all controlled by the Seven Sister fuel companies, which are all basically Rockefeller or Royal Dutch Shell or Queen of England owned. So they don't give a frack about you whatsoever. Hiking up the prices, buying out their competition, shutting down oil refineries all over the place. There's apparently oil tankers all over the world right now that are full, that are just sitting there in dock waiting to unload onto refineries because these big massive oil cartels shut down their competition and forced the prices up. So all of these separate things that we're being attacked by, I think you coined it pretty well earlier there, Roy, it's about fighting back, self-defense.
Well, self-defense is really self-sufficiency. If we can remove our dependency off of these massive approaches to resources, that's the only way we're going to have independence. We need that independence because their plan isn't to stop when they have the energy side of it sorted out or the food side of it sorted out. They're actually attacking our consciousness. They're doing brainwave modulation nonsense. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of monkeys with electrodes coming out of their heads. Well, that was many, many years ago, and they've sophisticated it with the sophistication of electronics. So you know they're playing in your heads. We talked about it last segment. They're using cell phone towers at night to change your brainwave fluctuations. They're saying they're going to give you good experiences and give you nice dreams, but they're actually making you tired, and they're making you compliant. So the biggest thing I see for the future is self-sufficiency as an individual, as a family, as a group, community, nation, whatever you can do. New Zealand is a prime opportunity to be self-sufficient, but we aren't even negotiating with the oil companies who are crawling over us like spiders right now for our oil and resources. We're not even negotiating that we get our resources produced from our own natural resources. We're not getting that even in the equation. So we're being hung out to dry, even by our government and the corporates involved and the international platform. So it's down now to what can we do as intelligent people to extradite ourselves from this continued corporate dominance of everything, right down to what we think.
It's like starting again. It's kind of like you go through primary school. You know, you spend your first 5-10 years there or something like that. Then you go into secondary school. You spend 2 years. Then you go into high school, and you spend another 5-6 years there or whatever, and then you get out in university and you spend 3 years there, and after you finish university and you go into the workforce, you realize you just wasted your entire life learning stuff that didn't matter, and you have to start again.
Well, we're kind of like that because they've been making us, attracting us more and more and more to screens, and yet we're not able to take care of ourselves. We don't produce our own food. We don't produce our own energy. We don't produce or protect our own water. The basics of life that we're counting on are actually what they're, with stealth, they're attacking. And so we have to wake up to that. We have to unify as a family, as a community, as a nation, whatever we've got, that we're really on our own. It's time for the good people to get together, because the bastards are definitely getting together and attacking our resources. So this is, I think, the shift. We have to recognize that nobody's going to do it for us, and that we do have the ability inherent in our own intelligence to cooperate with each other, to look beyond the bodily differences, to see the struggle for existence as something we can overcome, and start acting like, well, the more enlightened humanity. This society is being run by crazy people. So if we just act, you know, normal, it'll be enlightenment. And we can do it. We can extradite ourselves from this constant dependency, which is their whole modus operandi.
Yeah, yeah. It comes down to this whole, we don't need them anymore mentality. Like, you know, when you leave home for the first time, and you know you turn 18, you've got a job, you're flatting or whatever, and you realize that you don't need your parents anymore. They can't tell you to go and wash the dishes anymore because you're not living there. They can't tell you to eat your Brussels sprouts because they're not cooking your dinners anymore. You're doing it all yourself, right? And I think this is kind of what humanity has to do as a whole, is that the New World Order has built our homes and has raised us, and now it's time for us to go out on our own and learn and prosper by ourselves, and hopefully not have to return home after failing miserably.
Well, you don't have to. There's no reason, because the standard of living is miserable, actually. We don't recognize how much suffering we're going through. That's part of the trick of this whole human engagement. We don't realize how absolutely ridiculous it is to do the 9-to-5 thing and to sit in front of the television at night. It's totally ridiculous. It's programming, straight, pure, daily, 24 hours. You'd just be amazed at what you're capable of or how ingenious you might be if you're using your time and your capabilities on something that makes the struggle for existence far less. We don't need to be in this dependent capacity. That's part of the illusion that they're pushing on us. They want us to be dependent for enjoyment, and that's what they're doing. We watch the television. I think the television is the biggest problem we're facing.
Well, the television can be used to reprogram people, though, I've found. Well, maybe not the television, but certainly the computer screen if you're watching documentaries and what have you. That's how I woke up, Roy. Just watch documentaries. Yeah, I just watched Doco after Doco, and it kind of woke me up to pretty much everything simultaneously. So it comes down to the fact that television does not broadcast stuff that will wake you up. Television broadcasts stuff that keeps you distracted. The internet, yes, on the other hand, you can choose to either distract yourself or you can choose to learn something.
The problem there is you come from the television and go to the computer, and your brainwave pattern and modulation has already been altered, and they end up looking at porn instead of looking up self-sufficiency.
Could be worse.
Well, that's kind of where it's at. What are you doing with your brain? Where are you putting your conscious attention? If you just take a look at that and notice what are you doing with your conscious attention, you'll fix your life. But if you negate that fact that you have a responsibility, you'll end up controlled. There's too much of it out there.
It's funny you should mention this, Roy, because I watched like something like 3 or 4 hours of television last night. And while I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, I should be working. I could have accomplished a heck of a lot of work in that 4 hours if I wasn't just sitting here on my ass.
another thing that I've found happening, this is serious now. This is personal experience here, and I found this with a couple of really talented individuals. All right, there's two fellows I know. They're both in their 30s, and they're very intelligent guys, very talented at what they do, but they've gotten hooked up in this Warcraft game, and they're almost dependent on it. They can't go out and pursue their careers. They can't go out and pursue their capacities and their potentials because they're so attached, subtly, subliminally attached to playing this game. And it's amazing that they're like I said, they're two really intelligent, capable, talented individuals, and they don't even know each other, to be honest, but they're actually showing all the symptoms of mind control, secret ops stuff, that they're unable to lead productive lives. They actually, if you talk to them, they go, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing this, or I know this isn't good for me, or I know I'm wasting my time, but they still can't stop it.
It's because mind control is addictive.
Issue. Yeah.
Mind control is addictive. And when it comes to games, you just wonder, who's really playing who here? Thanks, Roy, for coming on the show with me today. And rushfm.co.nz, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to check out more from him. He also got a little show about farming and what have you on Hamilton Community Radio too. So, yeah, thanks, Roy, man. It's been awesome.
Good to be with you. Thanks a lot, and thanks to American Freedom Radio.
Indeed. American Freedom Radio. Love you guys there because you just, well, basically give us everything that we need in order to fight the new world order. Basically, a platform, advertising, the whole kit and caboodle. Thank you, guys. You keep us funded, you keep us rolling, and you keep us on air. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for the purchases of those blue shields. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Get one today. Click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we'll see you again tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.